Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study in Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. We've titled this, Wiser Than the Children of Light, and it is a parable that deserves careful consideration. We will begin with a current events update, and if you would like to hear the second part of this two-part message, you can go to our website at bbfohio.com and look for our Gospel of Luke playlist, where you'll find this and all the previous studies, not only going verse by verse through the Gospel of Mark, but also through numerous other books of the Bible, all available free of charge. And you can also find our contact information, all at bbfohio.com. So without further delay, let's get right into our current events update and study of Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, Wiser Than the Children of Light. This is part 1 of 2.
Current events
update. There you go. I like waking you up.
Truth bombs via cartoons. I love cartoons. These aren't action animated. These are still cartoons, but here's one. It has the Marxist Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor reading the Washington Post, which is a far-left propaganda rag. And the headline says, Sotomayor makes false COVID claim for Pinocchio's. So even the left-wing press was giving her bad grades for her lies that she was spouting during the hearings on the issue of the COVID vaccine mandate. And there's Forrest Gump saying, stupid is as stupid does. I think that was pretty good. Here's one that CDC credibility is buried. And the fella says, do you think it died with COVID or because of COVID? If you know what's going on, you know what that's all about. And again, we're getting ready to come up on the big 1 million mark that they're really excited about. They're going to celebrate 1 million dead of COVID, but they're liars. It's not dead of COVID. They've counted 1 million people who have died, many of whom died of heart attacks, gunshot wounds, overdoses, you name it. And because they tested positive with COVID, they count them. So just remember that and tell all your friends and neighbors, including the liberals, tell them the truth. Let them know that you know that 1 million number they're going to celebrate. And they are. They'll act like, oh, it's such a... They're loving it. Because it's all about... Well, that's true, too. I mean, the test doesn't work either.
Should we trust them on that, though?
Yeah, who knows what you trust them on. I like this when a guy's sitting there with his bird watching. And he says, is that a Falcon rocket soaring into space? And she says, those are consumer prices. And man, I don't do the grocery shopping in our house. I mean, I'll go with her and throw that in the cart. That's about as far as she does it. But I'm understanding that the prices are going way up on things. And one lady who is already on welfare and having to have food stamps to take care of her kids, and telling everybody that she's now spending $250 more a month on food, and so she's not even got enough in food stamps to cover the cost for her family. Number four, this is inflation is on, you know, flames and on fire, and Biden is spraying it with his big Build Back Better tax and spend plan. And you see on the side it says flammable. It's just going to add to the fires of inflation. And I think it's all by design. I think they're trying to crash our system. They're trying to put us in a situation where we'll go into the international monetary system and the world government that's setting the stage for the Antichrist and all that. So we'll do a couple of headline reviews before we close out. Just to show you the communist censor. You understand that? So who's censoring people in this country right now? Democrats and some progressive Republicans are on board with it, like Liz Cheney and those guys, gals and guys. They're communists. America believes in freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of expression. If you're against that, you're a communist.
Amen.
DirecTV cancels the OAN news network that I've told you is one of the few worth watching. After Joe Biden, a communist, orders media outlets and tech giants to banish voices that deviate from the regime's official narrative.
Yep.
Folks, I'm telling you, when I was first started voting, and even through the 90s, if you try to censor like these Democrats and rhinos are today, they would have been run out of town. That's how far our educational system has perverted the minds of the people of this country. That they now accept censorship of anybody. Both sides, left and right, center, and all points in between and outside of that, stood against censorship before. And it's not; it never stops there. Censorship's the first step. And a lot of Americans aren't going to take it seriously and say something until they're getting locked up. Because that's what's next. Joe Biden is an anti-constitution communist pushing censorship of his political opponents like Lenin and Stalin. And that didn't stop with censorship with them. There were camps and executions. That's what comes next. If you don't stop the censorship, that's what comes next. The only thing standing between it is the right to bear arms. And they're trying their best to come after that. Speaking of OAN, or it's called OANN, One America News Network. I call it OAN Network a lot. They reported this. GOP senators doubt newest Biden vote federalization effort. Democrats in the House are sending voter rights legislation. They're taking it out of the Build Back Catastrophe bill that has been shot down. And they're sending it back to the Senate as, quote, an emergency message. A procedural move that will send the measure straight to the Senate floor, hoping that they can get it through that way. However, GOP senators say it will still lack the votes for passage, despite a push from Joe Biden. And I say it again and over, violation of the Constitution and states' rights in order to steal elections. They're trying to federalize elections so they can continue to steal and do so more effectively. That's what it's all about. And Americans have to put a stop to it because Satan must control or destroy America to proceed with the beast system. We are not going to stop it. Eventually it's going to happen. The Bible says so. But the question is it going to happen on your watch? Is it going to be on my watch? What I hope and pray for is that it'll happen after the rapture.
Amen.
And they can have it after that.
Amen.
All right, Luke 16, 1 through 8. Wiser than the children of light? I put it in the form of a question because it seems like a real contradictory statement. But we know it's true because Jesus said it. And we're going to talk about that. In Luke 16, we're going to cover verses 1 through 8, and I'm going to ask you to join in and read the even verses with me as I begin in verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Amen? So you can see that overall this story kind of deals with the prepping issue and whether you should prep for disaster and that kind of thing. We'll come back to that in a minute. But this the rich man in this parable is representing the Lord. Okay? And we are the steward. How many of you know that you're to be a steward of everything God gives you? You're to be a good steward. You're supposed to be a good steward of money, a good steward of time, a good steward of whatever the case may be. Somebody have a hand up? Oh, I thought I saw a hand up. And in verse 1 it says, "And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods." The parable is meant to challenge unfaithful followers of the Lord. It's a shame that we have to have these kind of Bible studies. But we do. Because a lot of God's children are not faithful stewards. And they have to be reminded that, you know, there's how many people you talk to who say, "Well, the only thing that matters is I'm saved." That's not a biblical statement. The most important thing is that you're saved. But that is not the only thing that matters. How many times you talking about something to somebody and they say, "Well, it ain't like it's going to send me to hell." Like, you're setting the bar off a low there, pal. You think it's all right to do anything as long as it's not going to send you to hell? Well, you go murder somebody, you're not going to go to hell. To some people, they say, "Well, don't tell people that. They'll go murder people." That's not true. But it's true. King David had Uriah murdered. What happened? He didn't go to hell, but he sure paid for it. Big time. His firstborn and then some. And so don't think you're going to get by with sinning like the devil because it's not going to send you to hell. And we'll come to the most important thing in just a moment when you're considering these things. It's very important also, before we move on, not to make parables too literal or push the background too far. Because the rich man in this represents the Lord in a very general sense, not in specifics. How many of you know parable of the unjust judge, and the lady keeps going back and bugging him. And Jesus is using that to encourage us to be fervent in prayer. But God is represented by that judge. But the purpose of the parable isn't to inform us of the fact that God's unjust. So there's people who get really tripped up on that. The unjust judge is representing God in the sense that that's who you send your requests to. So the lady was going to the judge with her request. But his character is not God's character. And so keep that in mind. Parables have general truths, but don't get too deep or you'll go off the deep end. Amen? Amen. So the important thing is not to think he's trying to say that God is an unjust judge. And the same thing here is this rich man isn't a perfect example, but neither is, and I say perfect, I mean, don't push it too far. But the same thing's true about the steward. The steward here is going to do something that would be wrong for you and I to do. But the general truth of it is what Jesus is going to get across. We'll come back to it again, but the point of the parable is the point. Amen? Mm-hmm. Not the incidentals. Don't jump to the, incidental points of a parable. You'll get all messed up. So Luke then 16 verse 2 says, "And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee?" In other words, he's heard these accusations. And now he's heard these things. Now, again, don't think that's how God judges things, even though the rich man represents the Lord. But the Lord doesn't just go on accusations. And thank God for that, because we have an enemy who is the accuser of the saints. And he'd gone up there. Remember what he did with Job? And God did allow Job to be tested in order to prove Satan wrong. But Satan's accusations didn't hold any water with God. And so we just remember that as we read this account. He says, "Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward." In other words, he is at least saying, you know what? this accusation has been made against you. Now you need to make an account for what you've been doing. And then if not, you'll no longer be steward. And a lot of times Christians lose positions, lose jobs, lose situations, lose money, whatever, because what God has given to them, they're not faithful with. And then God will take it away. And I talked to a fellow one time who claimed he was a millionaire. And then when I talked to him, he was no longer a millionaire. And he was really having to work 80-hour weeks just to get by. And I think he might have been paying off debts even and everything. And you know what he told me? He said, God made it so easy on me and I was so wasteful. And he said, and I never gave what I should have given back to him. And so he just, and this is him saying, he said, I believe he just lifted his hand off of me and is letting me suffer the consequences. And people want to rebel against that and fight against it. And I'm like, you know what? That's your choice. All I can do is preach the truth. But if you decide not to give God of your substance, not to give God of your time, not to give God of your effort, you can't turn off the TV or whatever to read his word. You don't have time to pray, but you have time to gossip or whatever. That's between you and God. But God is just. And so you ought to understand, he sees it all, and he's going to, reckon things?
Reconcile
the books. That's right. It's in his timing. So he'll be patient a lot of times, and people think that they're getting by with it. That's not the case. So this unfaithful steward had earned his bad reputation, was being called on the carpet. Now, have you heard that phrase, called on the carpet? I was curious about it, so I looked it up. This comes from the mid-1800s, according to the Oxford Dictionary. The laborer was called in to face his superior, whose parlor was carpeted. And it'd be one of the few carpeted places where the laborer would ever stand. So because he'd be called into the parlor to be confronted by his boss or, his superior, and it was amazing because he'd walk in, he'd be walking on this plush carpet. They'd make him take his sandals off or his shoes off before he walked in. And probably felt really good on his toes. But they became a saying that people say, "Boy, where's Stan? He got caught on the carpet. Ooh, well, I bet his toes feel good, you know." So verse 3 says, "Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do?'" He should have been asked that question from the start. What's the right thing to do? If you wait until you're caught, you wait until you're in hot water before you ask that question, you're in trouble. How many of you been there? I've been there.
Flying by the seat of your pants.
Flying by the seat of your pants. Not a good idea. But it's also just neglecting responsibility until finally you're called on the carpet. You should be asking right now in your life, what should I do? And then do it. What should you do? And do it. And the two biggest things that I see Christians unwilling to really even deal with in their lives are those two things, time and money. And then they want to blame God a lot of times when they're broke and things are going bad. And they want to blame God when they don't read the Bible. They don't pray, so they don't have peace. They don't understand what's going on. They have trouble dealing with life. Then they want to get mad at God. And that's when the Holy Spirit will say to you, give an account. What have you been doing with yourself? What have you been doing with the substance that I've given you? And that's what's happening to this guy. He's too good to do manual labor and too proud to beg. And what a sad thing to see someone who professes to be a Christian, who won't do manual labor, but is too proud to beg. And I think that he says, to beg I'm ashamed, meaning that he won't ask for or receive help. And I got to tell you this, I've talked to people over the years who get a little too proud, because sometimes you're in a situation where people want to help you. You have to be willing to take that help. And if you don't, then don't get mad at God, because he's tried to help you. And had this conversation. I actually used this illustration about three times just in the last few weeks. But there's a story about the guy who is out on a boat and he's fishing and he's way out in the middle of nowhere in the ocean. And a storm whips up, capsizes his boat, and then he's stuck in the ocean with just something to float on. And he prays, "Lord, please save me, help me." And all of a sudden, here comes a helicopter. And the helicopter drops a ladder, and the guy says, "That's all right. I've prayed, and I'm trusting the Lord." So the helicopter flies away. And then along comes a ship. And the ship comes up, and they throw out the lifeline. Come on. He says, "Nope, no thank you. I've prayed, and I'm trusting the Lord." And then days go on. Finally, he passes out and drowns and dies. Goes to heaven, and he says, "Lord, I prayed and I trusted you." He says, "I sent a helicopter and a boat. What else do you want me to do?" And I've seen Christians like that. And God wants it. Now, if you're just a mooch, that's another issue. But if you are in need of help and someone's trying to help you, and especially if you intend on using whatever help you get a leg up and to become self-sufficient, self-reliant, not having to rely on others and everything, then that's exactly the point of help. I've said this about welfare. Some guys get up, especially the fundamentalists, get up there and just rail against welfare. And I said, that's not true. That's not right. What sense if they say? I believe that we as a society have a vested interest in helping those who need help. My problem are all the people on the rolls that don't need the help. They just won't work. People who won't do what's right, and then they want to be on the welfare roll. That's where I come in. That's why I supported Bill Clinton's reforms back in the 90s. They started calling it workfare. And when he had the liberals in control, he couldn't get that through Congress. But then when the Republicans won control of the House, that's when it got passed. It was his program. And see, I just said something nice about a Democrat. Some of you don't believe I do that. I do. When they once in a while they get something right, I'm going to say it. But I think we have... But I think there's, you know, a place for helping people and a place for receiving help. And I go on to stories of my own where I've received help, and it was very important to me, and the Lord used it. But by the way, that's a quote taken from Pete Ruckman in his Gospel of Luke commentary. "Too good to do manual labor and too proud to beg. The excuses of sluggards and the slothful are usually not even very believable." I mean, this guy says, "I can't dig, and I can't, and to beg, I'm ashamed." I mean, he's really that guy. He's so full of integrity that he can't beg, after what we already know about him. And he can't dig. Well, that's kind of a lame excuse because there's other jobs. How many of you know people who have been holding out for a management position for about a decade? "Why won't so-and-so work?" "Oh, he's holding out for a management position." Yeah, I've heard that in real life. That's not just a movie line. Proverbs 22:13 says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets." There are all kinds of other people in the neighborhood who go out in the streets and go along and do their thing, and they're not being slain by lions. See how absurd? I mean, what would you think if... you know, I just stopped coming, you know, and "Where's Pastor Greg?" "Well, he says he's afraid a lion will eat him." It's absurd, right? But how many people do you know who will come up and look you eye to eye in the face and tell you the dumbest thing and then dare you not to agree with it or accept it? I've looked at people and said, "You must think I'm stupid." "What? I'm telling you, that's the truth." I'm telling you, it's absurd. But there are a lot of times people like that never are confronted. So they just think if they come up with any ridiculous excuse that everybody's going to be like that guy who just accepts it. And I could tell you some doozies. No, I'm not going to tell it. There's one I could tell, but I'm not going to tell it. So This guy... But this guy will demonstrate worldly wisdom. In other words, he's been foolish in the way he's conducted business, but he's going to demonstrate worldly wisdom. In verses 4 through 7, we read it. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. That's not the right thing to do ethically or legally, morally. But he was in a position to do it and get by with it. See? So the point isn't whether it's right or wrong. The point is, this guy is looking at, we're taking the parable as it's written, we're looking at a guy who claims that he'll basically starve to death.